Let's go to Richard in Manchester. He dialed it up. What do you have to say this morning, Richard?
Oh, good morning. I was calling in about the federal government in Chicago, potentially.
Yes.
And about sanctuary cities. That issue in Chicago has been going on for months and months and months, and hasn't been resolved locally. So if I was asked to make a recommendation, I would say to use the National Guard to help out the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. And I don't mean to send in, you know, the Gestapo, but National Guard would probably help because they've changed, like, the chief of police, and they've done other things, but nothing is still a problem. As far as the sanctuary cities, I think they're a joke. Sanctuary cities are coddling and hiding illegal immigrants. Illegal means against the law. And if they were legal, I can understand it, but I don't get it when they're illegal. They came here illegally.
Well, I have a couple of things for you.
Yes.
Let's talk about the crime in Chicago. First of all, it doesn't even rank first in the nation when it comes to murder. It's way behind New Orleans, Detroit, St. Louis, Baltimore, Oakland, and others. When it comes to non-fatal shootings, St. Louis, Memphis, Oakland, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Milwaukee, and two others ahead of Chicago. So why is Chicago a focus when we have other major American cities with rates like this? Why wouldn't we send the feds into, if this is such a concern, why wouldn't we send the feds into those cities as well?
Well, by feds, what group of feds are you talking about? I'm talking about National Guard for temporary use.
Well, again, there's a difference between asking for assistance. The words Trump used were, I will send in the feds.
Well, did he specify which group of feds?
Again, sending in the feds isn't the same as getting assistance. I would assume he could send in, as you said, he could federalize the National Guard. He could send in the Marines or the Navy because they aren't covered by, I forget which the name of the act is, to keep federal agencies out of this. But the problem is, this we're talking about the President of the United States tweeting these things. This is the same man who complained about us telling the media our attack plans in battle, saying, why would we do that? The other thing is again, with all these other cities with higher crime rates, why is Chicago his focus?
Well, maybe some of the other cities need some federal help, too.
Okay, at what point? But then again, the Republicans are always talking about smaller government, smaller involvement, states' rights. The government can't do anything right. So why are we pro this? Why is this a good idea? It's not.
Okay.
And as far as sanctuary cities go, there are multiple reasons they can do so, especially when it comes from accepting immigrants from refugees. Like, I'm sorry if you lack any sort of compassion or nuance when it comes to the idea of housing people, however illegally, for the right to survive and leave a war zone. I still have my humanity, and there are times where it is acceptable.
Okay, thank you for your perspective.
Thank you for the call. 888-574-2723. I mean, there are multiple cities and states that rank higher than Chicago. And we're talking about the President of the United States putting his intentions on Twitter. And those are his words. I will send in the feds. And what this is about controlling the message. I mean, 1984 is a bestseller again because people are looking it up and reading about it after Kellyanne Conway talks about alternative facts. Like, how ridiculous is that? I mean, it should be a bestseller anyway if people need to read more. Maybe that's the problem. Less YouTube, more reading. But the other thing is when it comes to controlling the message is the administration has ordered the EPA to freeze contracts, and a total media blackout. The Environmental Protection Agency has been barred from awarding any new contracts or grants, plus a communications shutdown. Now, why is this necessary? Because it is about controlling the message, and some think it is because one park, I believe, was tweeting out statistics when it came to the inaugurations, and that made the Donald look bad. Now, when you talk about it, why are they shutting down Twitter feeds and all that? 30 environmental rules finalized during the end of President Obama's term, and they are just trying to kill them. And Donald Trump complains about all these regulations, these rules and regulations. Oh, it makes it hard for business. Well, guess what? The rules and regulations are there because business has shown they are incapable of doing anything but maximizing profit. That is why businesses exist. And without regulations, you wouldn't have your 40-hour work week. You wouldn't have vacation time. You wouldn't have overtime. We'd still have kids working in mines. These regulations exist. We'd still have industrialists dumping waste into our waterways that we drink and into our soil that seeps into those waterways. We would still have them doing shady things. What you have done as elected an industrialist who is looking to roll back all of these protections. The EPA exists for protecting human health and the environment by writing and enforcing regulations based on laws passed by Congress. It is not as though they just come up with these willy-nilly. Nixon proposed it, began operation in 1970 after Nixon signed an executive order. It is headquartered in Washington, D.C., but has regional offices and 27 laboratories, environmental assessment, research, and education. The responsibility of maintaining and enforcing national standards, delegate some permitting, monitoring, and enforcement. 15,000 plus full-time employees. More than half of EPA human resources are engineers, scientists, and environmental protection specialists. Those of you willing to sell out our planet, Mother Nature, for a buck and not think about the future are short-sighted and foolish. And that is what this administration wants to do. All for the sake of the almighty dollar. Who cares about the damage done? We'll fix it later. Except maybe you can't fix it. 888-574-2723. Let's go to Larry in Bridgeport. Good morning, Larry.
Hey.
What's going on?
How are you?
Not bad.
No, just a couple of thoughts. First off, in reference to, you were talking about Trump with his tweeting or whatever. And I don't agree with any president. No public official should have be able to do that or should do that. Okay, so no, that's my first comment. Second comment, in reference to Chicago, you've got 4,000 murders there since 2009. It's a gun-free zone. You've got gangs. You've got all kinds of rampant violence there that's out of control. I'm not agreeing with what President Trump is saying here. I'm not agreeing with that, okay? But the city's out of control, and as an independent voter, President Obama did nothing about that his whole presidency, except when he was leaving office, he had a photo op in Chicago with his big DNC donors, and everything was honky-dory in front of the cameras on CNN. Look, you have 4,000 murders there since 2009, and nobody does anything about it. A lot of inner-city people are living in fear and violence there. It's out of control. And the next closest city is Los Angeles at like half that amount. So it's definitely a conversation. Do I agree with Trump on sending feds in and putting it on Twitter? No, I don't agree with that. I think it could be handled in front of a microphone and, you know, at a press conference. But let me say this. Something does have to be done. That city's out of control. And that was one issue I wanted to make. The other issue I wanted to make was I don't agree with, you know, you talk about the XL pipeline now. I believe in energy independence, okay? One thing that really annoys me as an American is buying oil from Saudi Arabia, okay, and countries in the Middle East, certain countries like Saudi Arabia, that have terrible human rights records against women and the LGBT community. And by buying oil from them, they fund madrasas in cities like Rome and Berlin. They're spewing their violent venom all over the Western world. And I don't want their oil in this country. I'd rather bring it in from Canada in a responsible way, okay, to be energy independent. I don't want to put money in the hands of the Saudis and their Wahhabist violent ways.
And I don't, I don't disagree with you on that either. I don't think, I think it's hypocritical of us to condemn other nations for their treatment of women and then to be buddy-buddy with Saudi Arabia. The relationship with Saudi Arabia has been problematic for years for many people, but nothing has been done because of money, because of dollar signs. And I don't foresee that changing underneath that, specifically because he has staffed his team with Goldman Sachs people and industrialists. They're just about the money.
Well, can I say this? Bill Clinton had Goldman Sachs people in, and so did Obama. They both had Goldman Sachs people in. I'm not agreeing with everything Trump does, but he's in his third or fourth day in office. I'm willing, like I did with President Obama and President Clinton and President Bush, God help me, I'm willing to give them time, and I'm willing to give them a chance. I want to see what they do. That's
so,
all I'm saying.
And I want to see something positive. When you talk about a freeze on the USDA and the EPA and shutting down their ability to talk to the public, that for me is problematic. That for me is about controlling the message, not allowing your agencies to put out information that is publicly funded that they've been doing for years. For me, that is problematic. And
I understand. I understand. I'm not arguing that I believe they should be able to put out their message. Now, saying that, you know, the crowd size thing, I thought that was probably someone in the EPA or whatever agency it was getting a little partisan. I just don't think it's an important issue.
Right.
On both sides.
Neither do I. And
so
I mentioned
many bigger issues to
I mentioned
with.
This yesterday, but guess who's making it a big deal? The administration.
I know. Trump is making it a big deal, and he should let it go. But that's not going to be my reason for condemning him as the incoming president. I'm going to look at the bigger picture and realize there's a lot of other issues on the table. I mean, you got to understand, Ed, we live in a state that's run primarily by Democrats, and you have the poorest children in the state, okay? And my wife and I work with some of these kids in New Haven. They are the poorest. They are under the poverty line, and this governor has cut funding under many programs, including Husky, by, if you look at the news, Channel 3, or if you look at some of the other news, Hartford Current, he's cut funding more than 30% in the last 5 years to the most needy children in the state. So there's problems on both sides with Democrats and Republicans. Connecticut's virtually bankrupt, and we're trying to balance the budget on the most needy people in our society.
I agree with you. I think
that's
we should be looking.
You should be focusing on that too.
I think we should. I talk about it all the time when I talk about the budget. I think about when we talk about businesses leaving Connecticut because they all want sweetheart deals. Well, there is a responsibility, and I think that when it comes to whether it's Yale or the nonprofits, you talk about Hartford. I don't think they're able to bill on maybe 70% of the property in the city because of what it's designated as. I think that's bad business. I think we have to stop with these, oh, well, here's a deal for you to do this. You got to pay the cost to do business.
I agree with you. And this baseball team in Hartford, that's insane. I mean, you know, the city's probably going to go bankrupt. What's the city going to get out of that deal? They're going to get nothing out of that deal. That was just a bad deal all the way around. And that was all I wanted to say.
Well,
I mean,
Larry, it's always good to talk to you. I appreciate the call. 888-574-2723, the number into the studio if you have something to say. Up next, we will take a look at voter fraud. And as Larry said, I want to give him a chance. But when I see people being silenced and when I see the gaslighting, it bothers me. It scares me. And especially this early, when I see 10 executive orders right off the bat going against what everybody, what every expert says, oh, let's do those pipelines. Oh, well, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers said, let's hold up on it. The man can't know everything. It's impossible. I said I don't, and he can't. And he knows less than everything. And the idea that he is just undoing all of this, these protections are put in place for a reason. You want lead paint again? Great. You want Flint, Michigan's water, which is finally drinkable again? Great. That is what happens when these regulations get pulled back. You want people falling into meat grinders and you get to eat it along with horse meat? Great, because that's what's going to happen. You want your strawberry jam to really contain no strawberries anymore? Because that happened in the past. 888-574-2723. We'll be right back here on Ed Says. Chris in Hartford. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Ed. I just heard you talking about when we repeal all these regulations, how we're going to have horse meat in our roast beef and lead in our paint. And I just thought it sounded absolutely ridiculous and desperate. But your tears are sweet to me, and hail victory.
Is that it?
Hail Trump, hail our people, hail victory.
So you're quoting the liberal tears thing. That's your
Richard
basis.
Sir Richard Spencer at the MPI concert. Yes, but I think you're absolutely crying, and I love it. So take care.
That's intelligent discourse, there, my friend. That is probably an illustration of the total and complete problem with maybe our democracy, allowing you to vote based on making other people feel bad. You're a brave soul. I don't know what else to say to you. That's your motivator, to make the other side cry. There are no tears here, sir. If you are not troubled by an administration silencing agencies, I don't know what to tell you. If you're not troubled by an administration perpetuating lies, then I don't know what to tell you. And yes, I might have been a bit hyperbolic when referencing horse meat in your roast beef or your beef. But guess what? It was referencing things that happened. That strawberry jelly thing actually happened. I believe they used flax seed, maybe, something that looked like strawberry seeds, and mixed it in with a red gelatinous thing and sold it. And only our agencies investigating it were able to uncover it. Otherwise, you're going to get sold garbage, because businesses exist to maximize profit. And I can't help you if you're too small-minded or bigoted. I don't know what it is in your case that somebody who thinks differently than you is the enemy. But if you make it through your day with a smile on your face, I guess that's all that matters. But I worry about bigger things, because everything that I just listed is the antithesis of how this nation is supposed to run. 888-574-2723. Let's go to Justin in Wallingford. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, Ed. You know, as far as Trump silencing the EPA or whatever other bureaucracies, it only makes sense, at least. I mean, you're right, it's about controlling the message, but it's also about, you know, making sure he doesn't have a rogue bureaucracy on his hands in the meantime while his appointees are getting, you know, their votes. It'll be temporary, so I don't know if Pruitt's in or not. I don't know if you can tell me or not, but if he's not in, this makes sense, you know, until he can get his own people in place.
The thing is, I don't buy it.
Well, I'm just giving you a plausible reason.
Right, but
I'm not going to force it on you. There,
you are. You're putting too much faith in it. That
it just matches the pattern of what's been going on.
By who?
By Trump. So
right.
Guess,
so that's the thing. Not a pattern that we've established in the past. And
the pattern that he's been establishing since he's been elected. So he.
And it doesn't bother you. You think this is A-OK?
I think it's fine. He wants his people in place. I don't see anything wrong with that. And he doesn't want anyone going off rogue while he's doing
it. So is tweeting out scientific facts and information about road conditions and things like that, that's going rogue?
He's doing it as a preemptive strike. I don't.
So
think
everybody's an enemy.
It's not a punitive thing. He's just making. He's keeping.
Well, we're just going to disagree on that. He is a thin-skinned individual who. Can't handle anything that he deems to be a slight, even if it's facts about global warming, which the scientific community is on, or whether it's about the crowd size, which is visually verifiable by anyone with two brain cells to rub together. We're just going to have to agree to disagree on this because I don't foresee him lightening up on any of this.
Yeah, and as for the regulations, I mean, obviously some are necessary. The question is whether or not all of them are necessary. You know, there it might be just a small minority that are excessive or, you know, have no beneficial effect. But
His idea was for every...
Look it over. The idea that, well, this agency exists and so everything they do is virtuous, it is probably not true. There have been a lot of arguments in terms of the EPA with their inland water stuff, with their navigable waters, where some guy builds a pond on his land and they get all crazy about it. There are cases. They may be in the minority, but they exist.
Well, then, again, it's like the voter fraud.
There are regulations that are being abused, and maybe they're too vague and simply need to be rewritten.
Well, his idea was for every new regulation, you had to take away two, which seems asinine to me. But if you're willing, and you seem willing, to take everything he puts forth without criticism, and that's up to you.
I'm willing to criticize. I'm just not willing to, you know, necessarily ascribe malice to everything.
Well, I guess we just differ there. Thank you for the call, Justin. It's not malice in my case. It's just common sense. When somebody moves to silence agencies, not particular ones, just blanketly, even parks, there's a problem. And maybe it's because I've worked with people like that who come in and try to something that already exists. That's not how government is supposed to work. You're not supposed to come in and undo everything and destroy everything and create it in your own vision. You are a cog in the machine that is already running. Let's go to Robert in Torrington. Good morning, Robert.
Yeah, good morning, Ed. Listen, I was thinking about this Trump and the police force. I don't think he really knows what he's stepping into, because most of the crime, if you think about it, is not just committed by some kid standing on the corner selling drugs or some kid shooting with the guns. You got to go after where they get all these drugs and the guns. And you're going to find in a lot of the towns, even in Torrington, there's prominent families that are corrupted, and they know the police chief and they know the mayor. Now, if Trump was going to do it that way with the federal police to go after the big time crooks that are actually causing the crimes with the gun running, you don't go after just the ones on the street, the low level thugs. But when he finds out that he's stepping in a hornet's nest, because a lot of these people were his supporters, he's going to back off, because he's not going to want the organized crime to go after him. And that's where all the crime is caused. It's not the low level is where the big shots buy them off to sell these goods. But they're the ones you got to go after, not the little ones on the street where you get your drugs from.
Now, the little ones on the streets are the ones that fill the prisons and keep the money coming in. Robert, thank you for the call. It is all about money. And when you look at who is directing things and who is controlling things, I hate to break it to you guys, it might have sounded good in practice. We've got a non-politician, a, quote, successful businessman. But the idea was good. The execution, not so much. And here we thought it was all done with. The idea of voter fraud has been widely discredited. Are there voter rolls with dead people on them that shouldn't be? Yes. Are people fraudulently voting under other people's names? No. Ohio spent millions on it, found 0.004% when it comes to it, and that is a statistic that is pretty much across the board nationally. And remember, when Jill Stein wanted the recount in Michigan, one Donald Trump's lawyers wrote, "All available evidence suggests that the 2016 general election was not tainted by fraud or mistake." Essentially, Trump, through his lawyers, argued that there was no voter fraud in the 2016 election. This, of course, happening when Trump was having his counts questioned by Green Party candidate Jill Stein. And yet here we are. And again, for those of you who question why every day I'm like this, because every day the man gives me something to talk about. Is it an issue or is it not an issue? He said it's not an issue when Jill Stein wanted the recounts. Now that he is upset about losing the popular vote by 3 million, he says it is an issue. Even though everyone in the know, everybody who has done studies on this, says that it is not an issue. Voter fraud is not an issue. You know what is? Voter suppression. That is an issue. But our president, Donald Trump, has called for a major investigation into voter fraud. And the best part, I will be asking for a major investigation into voter fraud, including those registered to vote in two states, those who are illegal, and even those registered to vote who are dead, and many for a long time. Depending on results, we will strengthen up voting procedures. I want to go back to the line, including those registered to vote in two states. Because guess what? One, Steve Bannon is registered to vote in two states. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know who he is? He's the senior advisor to President Trump. Bravo. Again, it's the flip-flopping, it's the hypocrisy, it's the stupidity of it all that rubs me the wrong way. And if you can't understand that, if you can't wrap your head around that statistically, this is not a concern, and that Trump wasn't concerned with it. He said, no, it wasn't happening at one point, but now it did, saying 3 to 5 million. Now, does that mean if our president says that there were 3 to 5 million illegal votes, they couldn't have all been for Hillary? Because this is what this is about. This is about him losing the popular vote. It's not enough that he won the Electoral College. It's not enough that he is president of the United States. He has to get the popular vote, too. It is his ego driving him. So let's say 3 to 5 million were fraudulent. They can't all be Hillary votes. Maybe they were fraudulent in the states he won that put him over the top. Should we redo this? Our president is calling into question our election. Isn't that enough to call for a redo? Let's go to Bob in Enfield. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Ed. I agree and disagree on a couple of points. As far as checking someone's citizenship, Patriot Act doesn't allow, the only organizations that are allowed are law enforcement agency to check someone's citizenship. Town clerks can't do it. A register of voters can't do it. Now, I don't know any numbers because on non-citizens voting, because there's no way to check that number. But there is my feeling, some people that are not citizens that are voting, like Social Security fraud. Down south, person passes away, it's not reported. In fact, the people don't even allow you in their cemeteries to read the tombstones. The genealogists can't go in there. They're threatened that they have to leave. So there's a possibility on that part of it. But that can't be proven at this point because only law enforcement agencies can check someone's citizenship.
Well, I can't go on a feeling. You have a feeling it's happening. I go on what the statistics say, what the research says, and it is less than 1%. It's like 0.04. And that's just the facts of the matter. And again, I'm illustrating it in how is it 6 months ago, or even 4 months ago, that Trump was saying that Jill Stein's attempt at a recount was silly. Through his lawyers, he said that there was no election fraud, and now there was. Again, you can't have it both ways. And he's saying there was election fraud, then shouldn't we have another vote?
Well, Ed, the thing is, the researchers that done the research could not check that fact about non-citizens voting because they're not allowed for that part of the research. So unless that part has been researched, that study is not valid.
I'm going to go with that they did their homework a little more than Bob from Enfield. I'm just going to go with that, Bob. I thank you for the call. 888-574-2723. Here's what Baghdad Sean Spicer had to say.
The president does believe that. He has stated that before. I think he stated his concerns of voter fraud and people voting illegally during the campaign. And he continues to maintain that belief based on studies and evidence that people have presented to him.
The truth about voter fraud was a report written by experts at the Brennan Center for Justice found the rates between I mean, this is incredible. 0.0004. I'm going to make sure I get every zero. 1, 2, 3, and 0009. That's tenths, hundredths, thousandths. I mean, it's infinitesimally small. And yet, here we are. And this will be money wasted, even though there is no evidence. Paul Ryan even agreeing that there's no evidence. Paul Ryan, the only one willing to break with party. And the concern here is that if there is even a 0.004, 0.009 percentage found, they will, and probably if there's dead people on the rolls, which there will be, because that happens, you will see a push for voter ID, which will make it harder for people to vote. It will disenfranchise people. It's already tough. Again, remove yourself from this little bubble you live in Connecticut where you get to go to a nice little school and everybody knows your name. And think about what it's like in other states where people have to travel miles upon miles to vote with bad public transit. Maybe the public transit doesn't go anywhere near it. I mean, you've seen plenty of lawsuits that are happening with gerrymandering. But no, keep living in your bubble of simplicity. Let's go to Ann in Waterbury. Good morning, Ann. Ann, are you there? And I'm going to give you one last try. All right, 888-574.
I'll see if I can get her.
2723, the number into the studio. It is just going to make it harder for people to vote. It is just going to disenfranchise. It is going to change everything. Your freedom to vote is going to be under attack. And Paul Ryan himself saying there is no evidence, as Trump claims. I've made that very, very clear, he says. So why is this an issue? And this is what I'm talking about. It shouldn't be an issue. Crowd size shouldn't be an issue. Voter fraud shouldn't be an issue. But it is all about ego. And this is dangerous. And if you don't think so, you're not paying attention. Let's go to Rick in Waterbury. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, can you hear me okay, Ed?
Yeah, you're fine. Go right ahead.
Okay, I just turned the show on. I know Trump just got elected 2 days ago. It seems like you're always putting him down. Do you have anything good to say about him? Because I can think of about five good things he's already doing.
I listed all of the executive actions he's already done. If I saw something positive, I would tell you. But I see more troubling than positive. I think silencing agencies who are delivering information to the public is problematic, while some don't. I think this witch hunt for voter fraud, which doesn't exist, is problematic. And I think that it could lead to a dangerous precedent when it comes to people voting. I think that his war with the media is problematic. I think him using the opportunity to speak to the CIA to talk about his crowd size is troublesome. I think the problem here is that is all...
Can I ask one question real quick?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hey, don't hang up. I got two questions. Does it bother you at all about these protesters burning down buildings, breaking windows? You're not seeing so much coverage on the media with this.
All right, so Rick, let me make a distinction for you.
Okay.
There is a difference between protesters and people who want to damage property.
Okay, can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
What exactly do these people protest? Women have all the rights already. What exactly are they missing that they don't have?
Women have all their rights already. Is that what you just said?
They have the right to abortion. You know, how many rights do people think they have?
It's about protecting those rights.
Old stuff.
Rick, it's about protecting those rights. This administration and the Republican Party want to undo all of that. It's about protecting those rights. Does that make sense?
Can I ask you another question?
Absolutely.
I understand that women want the right to the abortion, but I don't feel taxpayers should be paying for all these abortions. Do you think that's a good law, what he's trying to do with cutting the funding to other countries and cutting Planned Parenthood a lot of that funding?
Well,
I'm sure Planned Parenthood, they may run under the guise that they're doing a lot of health care, but the majority of them, I'm sure, are abortions.
No, 3%. I believe the number, it varies on the source. It goes between 3 to 12% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion services. not even the actual procedure, but just services. So you're wrong there. They do a lot more when it comes to STDs. They do pap smears. They do cancer screenings. They do much more than just provide abortions. Planned Parenthood is a good program for people who need it. Does it provide a service that some people may not agree with? Yes, it does. Now, can they use federal money for that? No, they cannot. My problem with what Trump did with the gag order is that not only does he remove money from national and international agencies that provide that service, but they also, it removes the money from those that provide the information. And there is a difference between providing information and a service. You can be against the service, but denying people information is essentially censorship. And it's, again, going back to controlling the message. There will be 68,000 women that die internationally this year because of complications in childbirth in which the fetus is not viable, but an abortion could have saved that woman's life. And they will be denied that.
Well, I understand if the woman's life is a danger, I have no problem with possibly going to abortion in that situation.
Right, but those women will now be denied that. Those women will now be denied that because we will not be giving the funds. And that is where I have a problem.
One more question.
Go ahead.
What do you think about the moving forward of this policy building this wall between Mexico and the United States?
I think it's a waste of money. I don't think it'll accomplish anything. Most of the people that are here now illegally have overstayed visas. The numbers of people crossing illegally are the ones that those numbers are down, and they have been down. It's overstaying visas that is the problem. And if you have a problem with that, I agree. People shouldn't be overstaying their visas. We should be. But then again, that's a federal thing, and we have to pay to support that, to have people working there. And again, everybody wants to cut everywhere. It comes down to services. I thank you for the call. I got to hit a break. 888-574-2723. We'll be right back here on Ed Says. We're talking about the idea of fraudulent votes, of voter fraud, how every study has essentially said that's not the case. But yet, here is Baghdad Sean.
The president does believe that. He has stated that before. I think he stated his concerns of voter fraud and people voting illegally during the campaign. And he continues to maintain that belief based on studies and evidence that people have presented to him.
Again, meanwhile, Paul Ryan saying no evidence of that. And Trump's lawyers themselves, when fighting the Green Party's protest of his votes in Michigan, said, no, there's no evidence of voter fraud. So when it benefited him, there was no evidence. Now, when he had what he probably and some others consider poor turnout for his inauguration compared to President Obama, and let's just say 1.8, 1.9 million is going to be a hard number to beat. Trump did beat, I believe, Bush one of W's years and one of Clinton's years, I think they're second ones, with his numbers, which is fine. The problem here is the psychosis of Trump and eating everything, whether it's his hands or remember that speech he made where he references nether regions, everything has to be big. His name on the buildings. He can't just accept reality. Now, Spicer said the other day this was the most attended in-person inauguration ever. It wasn't, and that's okay. But to continue to fight it, and now to say that 3 to 5 million votes were fraudulent, now that's a big number. And maybe we should just vote again. Let's go to Mike in Glastonbury. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, good morning, Ed. My general question is about when the president is going to have his first official press conference. He hasn't really had one yet, has he?
Yeah, he had the one. He had the one where he went after CNN and called them fake news.
Oh, okay. But that's at the same time, Ed, I think, in the operating space of a room which could accommodate, was it 49 folding chairs and had been the traditional space used for some years. There was talk about moving the space to a bigger area near the White House. And,
yeah, I don't think they have done the bigger area yet. And I think part of the problem is that it's going to extend credentials, which is fine, but there are some questionable outlets that will be given credentials, and it will be the cherry picking of those outlets. Anyone who paints, this is a man with very thin orange skin.
Well, this is what's kind of interesting me is several possibilities here, but let's say that they increase the seats to 60 or, you know, they tack on 20, 30 plus people, some of whom are generally classifiable, I suppose, as bloggers or people in the new media, people of either questionable or emerging credentials, in addition to the traditional media, or I guess what Trump sometimes frequently views as fake. But who's to say that it's just another plateau of alienation that might develop if he started to say that one of the people who previously been his supporter in general was now a fake blogger or a fake emailer or...
Well, Mike, I think that opinion goes with the wind. I think you can be in his good graces in one moment, and if you are critical of him,
yeah,
you're out on your ear the next.
Well,
I think
here's my final thought, and that is it used to be, and I hate to sound historical, but what the heck, I thought that the chief executive was supposed to be most of the time restrained and then judgmentally could cut loose once in a while and get mileage that way. But if it's a fairly ongoing or perpetual thing, and there's a kind of, not a leak, but a stream of consciousness coming out of the chief executive, that seems sort of untoward or unnecessary, really.
And Mike, it seems dangerous. It seems dangerous. I thank you for the call. I'm up against a break. 888-574-2723 at Ed Says CT on Twitter and Ed Says at talkofconnecticut.com.